In Flanders fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below.
The origins of the poppy go back to a poem that was written in 1915 by a Canadian, John McCrae. His poem is called In Flanders Fields, and he wrote it just before the beginning of the Second Battle of Ypres in Flanders, which was, as I say, in April 1915. I think he wrote it just after a friend had died, and the story is that he wrote it while he was sitting next to a canal bank in Belgium. The poem leading on to the Remembrance Poppy wasn't the work of McCrae, who actually died of illness in 1918. But the next person who comes into the story is Moina Michael, often known as the Poppy Lady, and she was in America. And on Armistice Day, so that's the 11th of November 1918, the story is that she read the poem and was so affected by it that she made a personal vow that she would always wear a poppy in remembrance of those who had died during the war. And this seems to have been the beginning through Moina Michael, and actually in America, of the poppy as a symbol. It's first picked up by the American Legion, which is the American Veterans Organization, the counterpart of the British Legion in the UK. It was taken up in Britain in 1921, and the poppies were made in a special poppy factory, which later on was moved to where it is now, which is at Richmond in Surrey.
This is the Royal British Legion Poppy Factory in Richmond, Surrey. The poppy factory was founded back in 1922, after the First World War. Our founder, George Howson, served in the First World War in the Royal Engineers, and he had the idea of setting up a charity to provide proper, meaningful paid employment for some of the disabled ex-service people who had come back to Britain to the land fit for heroes, as it was supposed to be, and had found that it really wasn't anything like. George had the idea that one of the key things to give people back their independence and their self-respect was actually to provide them with a proper, meaningful, paid job. And he did that by joining forces with Earl Haig, who in 1921 had founded the British Legion. And he agreed with Earl Haig that from 1922 onwards, the Disabled Society, as he initially called the charity, would be the source of poppies for remembrance time in this country.
Flanders fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row.
The poem quickly attracted a lot of attention. I think it was published in the Times and in the press in Britain. Became one of the best-known poems of the war. If you look at the poem, it's a very effective poem, very short and very simple, but it's actually very patriotic. It hasn't got the same kind of disillusioned, angry quality of Wilfred Owen or Siegfried Sassoon.
What passing bells for these who die as cattle? Only the monstrous anger of the guns, only the stuttering rifles' rapid rattle can patter out their hasty orisons.
We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields.
By the time the poppy sale begins, the 11th of November 1921, there's already quite a well-established body of ritual and a lot of popular support for it. And the British Legion took up the sale of poppies as another additional feature of the day. They originally, I think, were going to manufacture 2 million poppies. They found that the demand was for far greater numbers, and poppy wearing became almost universal during the 1920s, and people who didn't take part in that would have been ostracised, and there was social pressure.
For Remembrance Time this year, we've produced between us all 45 million poppies, and of those 45 million poppies, 500,000 were made on the premises. We have in Richmond here a workforce of just over 30 people who are directly involved in making product for the Royal British Legion. All of the people at the factory have some connection to the services. They've either served in their own right and primarily have some disability, or they're the disabled dependents of people who've served. And as a result of that, we're all immensely proud of the work that we do here and with the support that we give to ex-service people. do find that the transition from a service environment to civilian employment is, for some people and in some circumstances, quite a difficult transition to make. And we have a network of employability consultants spread throughout the country who encourage and offer advice and support during that transition process. It's the difference between life, civilian life, and life in the forces. It can be as a nature of their disability if they've got mental issues or they've got physical issues that they're coming to terms with.
I'm Bill Selick. I've worked at the poppy factory for about 5.5 years now. In the services, you're waking up quite abruptly by someone shouting or whatever. It's very orderly, very organised. You get up at a certain time, you go for breakfast at a certain time, you're on parade after breakfast, and you have what you call part one orders, which are written on the board. So you read that, and it tells you exactly what you're going to do for the day. And when you come out, you can't cope with people being lazy and undisciplined, I suppose the word is. And you feel that you're different from the civvies. You don't see yourself as a civvy. You still see yourself as being a serviceman. It's a lot more relaxed now, obviously. They don't put too much pressure on you. You set your own quota of work. And because there are other people here with similar problems, they understand. Whereas people who haven't been through it, they don't understand it. And therefore you can't discuss it. And if you sort of throw a wobbler or something, you go off. They leave you alone because they know that, you know, you're having a bad day or a bad 10 minutes or whatever. If you want to talk to them about it, you can. So it's a safe environment.
Whenever you put any group of human beings together, you'll get some people who are having good days and you'll get the odd person who's having bad days. But what we try to promote here is an atmosphere where work is a bit of fun. There is a social element to it, and we're not a highly pressurised environment by any stretch of the imagination.
Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Essentially, the message of the poem is that the dead who have died in Flanders are wanting to pass on the torch of the cause that they fought for to the survivors, who will carry on and hopefully carry the war through to a victory. Otherwise, they won't be able to rest in peace. So the message of the poem is very much that is patriotic, in the sense that it's necessary to carry on and win the war, because the war is a just cause, and if you don't win the war, then the people who lie there in Flanders fields will have laid down their lives for nothing. So that's the essence of the poem.